Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. We are going to be talking about healing, meaning, and purpose. And my guest is Dr. Richard Petty in the fabulous state of Georgia. Dr. Petty, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, I always look forward to our conversations because you are a man that is so well-traveled. You are involved with scientific circles and the state-of-the-art information, exploration, whatever term we want to use, about developing an understanding that we as individuals have a lot more personal power in our lives. Your passion is integrated health on so many different levels. That's why you wrote your book, Healing, Meaning, and Purpose.
That's right.
You talk about, in your book, there's so many points of information that you share. You discuss relationships, and this is always big on most people's agendas, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. We're all either in a relationship that's fulfilling or we have relationships with different people. Give us your understanding of the impact of relationships upon us, our wellness, etc.
Absolutely. This is such an important issue. And, you know, most of the time all we do is we think about our interpersonal relationships. But I'm going to suggest to you and to everybody today that there's actually a much better and more all-encompassing way of thinking about relationships. And I'm also going to share with you today some astonishing new research data, which was just published this week. I like to be up to date with things.
Wow, that is
so
phenomenal.
I'm going to,
this week.
To give you some material before we finish that I think everybody's going to find really pretty amazing. But, when we talk about relationships, for me, it's the relationship not just of a person with another person, but also with ourselves, our spirituality. And I'll tell you why this became such an interesting idea. We had a couple of clues. The first is that we know from physics that there's absolutely nothing in the universe that exists in isolation. Everything lives in a relationship. And it's so obvious when you notice it. Everything lives in a relationship. The second big key came when I started looking at the 500 different types, and it is 500 different types of therapy. And one of the things that was so striking was every single one of them revolves around a relationship. When you counsel somebody in your own practice, it is that relationship that you get with somebody, both emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that helps them, and the two of you grow together. Isn't that right?
It should be, but I want to pose a question. You're giving such good information here. Why is it that with most physicians, they don't even go into that?
And I think it is a tragedy that people don't go into it. And what they do instead is medicine has changed dramatically since the 19th century. And you can trace it back. It's fascinating. If you just trace back in history, the first thing is that until the Middle Ages, most healing was done by women. And there were some very interesting historical reasons why that changed. There are still many countries in the world where most doctors are women. Russia is a good example. I've spent a lot of time there. The second big change that happened was when men started taking over, medicine began to become more removed from people because women have better relationships than men are. And then there was a man called Laennec in France who invented the stethoscope. Until then, if you wanted to listen to a person's chest, you actually had to apply your ear. You actually laid your head on someone's chest to listen to them. And the old physicians used to carry a silk handkerchief to place on the chest to listen. Once the stethoscope appeared, it then became a matter of progression that we moved further and further and further away from the individual. Nowadays, you can go and get yourself some telemedicine and somebody in Timbuktu can give an opinion on your appendix. And there's no relationship. And it's a tragedy because we are social animals. 90% of our brain is designed for social interactions.
Oh, that's so true. And there's so many areas of medicine that have changed over the years. I know when I had my daughter, when she was born, I was not permitted to even be close to her. And it wasn't permitted for a number of days because she was a blue baby. She didn't have enough oxygen. And so she was kept in an incubator. Today, they are allowing parents, because they understand more of the relationship with children, how important it is to touch for both the parent and the child. And we've gone through so many shifts and changes, and the new ones are just so much better, I think, than the older ones. And I think there's some changes in the medical field itself where professionals like you are saying we've got to make some changes because we're not making that much progress in medicine. We like to think we are, but look at these horrific cases that are occurring. And I think what you're pointing out regarding relationships is so very significant. And it makes such a difference. And like you say, there's so much with illness that is based in disharmony. Let's talk about the war on cancer. I just saw a program, in fact, I mentioned it on the air yesterday, but I saw a program on cancer, a woman's videotape on cancer, and it really was so sad to me because there was such a narrow paradigm of perspective. And then I learned that some of the chemicals that are used are like mustard gas.
That's right.
Oh, I was appalled. Illuminate us on this war on cancer, which we are not winning.
Well, you know, this is a very, very important issue that you've just raised. There are two distinct approaches to health. The first of them, and the one that you're referring to, is this idea that we have to use military metaphors. So basically, dealing with illness is all about a war. So we have a war on cancer. We have killer cells. We have magic bullets. We have, and you're supposed to have a fighting spirit. And it works to a point. The trouble is that it only works to a point. The second way of thinking about how to deal with things is to work harmoniously with nature. So we don't throw away everything else. We don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. But instead of just saying, we're going to fight, we're going to battle, and one of us is going to win, I'm going to arm wrestle this tumor until I come out on top. Instead, we talk about getting back in harmony with nature and with ourselves, and that gets straight back to what I was saying a moment ago about relationships. So instead of having this constant idea of battling disease and going to war, instead, there's a whole different perspective which completely changes the way that we deal with each other. And that's important because if we think about it for a moment, how we conceptualize human beings, it has a major impact on how we treat them. If you think people are just little machines walking around, then it's fine and dandy to just give them drugs and be aggressive. If you believe, as you and I do, that there's a lot more to the human being, that we have minds and souls, then it is inadequate simply to try and poison the tumor. You need to do more.
There are so many aspects to an individual. And sometimes, in my experience, people, when they have something like cancer or anything that could be labeled terminal, and for the truth of it, we're all terminal. I mean, that's a given. But to have something assault you physically, it is really frightening. And one of the things that I find that often is going on is a tremendous grief or a pain of some kind emotionally. There's so much that is within a human being that often is covered up. God knows I've done it, and it's something I think that my listeners can relate to, too. We want to have that feeling of comfort and relationship that will take away the sterility and allow us to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And I think that that is so, so important, and it's so tough to make okay. And I think that that is why your book, Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, is so valuable. You bring up a man's name in your book, Ken Wilber.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, this is a man that stepped outside the box a long time ago, along with a few other people. What was his positioning on these relationships that you are speaking of today?
Yeah, Ken's work I have followed with great interest for many years, and it's interesting that you should actually touch on that, because one of his most poignant books is called Grace and Grit, and is the account of the death of his first wife, his second wife, from cancer, and it's a harrowing book. But Ken's idea is that you can look at people from different perspectives. You can look at them as an I person, I am me, or you can look at them as part of social group. This is where the relationships come in. And those groups and the way that we put those together can be simply a family group. They can be a much larger group, like a society. They can be the whole planet or the whole cosmos. And they're not mutually exclusive. So at any given time, you are having a relationship with the listeners, with yourself, and also with the planet at large, because you and I both know that there is something about every one of us, everyone who's listening, that is infinite.
Absolutely.
Something wonderful out there. And that is constantly there, and it's watching, isn't it?
Oh, we are an expression of it. We're an extension of it, and it links. You never know. We had a caller from Paris. I had someone calling me from Spain this morning. There's this amazing linkage that when the doors are open, that just, to use modern words, blows your mind.
Absolutely. And there are two things that I've shared with you, Donna, privately, but I'm going to share with the listeners, because I think it's very, very important. I'm very happy to tell people that I, at one stage, had a cancer myself. It shocked everybody that I would get it, because I was the health nut, but I did. And the way that I got over it was with the very best of treatment, you know, conventional. I had surgery, I had all of that stuff. We also used homeopathy, we had prayer circles, we had the relationships going on. We did everything and got completely and totally cured.
Mm-hmm.
The second is my old Tai Chi teacher, with whom I studied for many, many years in England. Somebody said to me, oh, he's back from retreat. He went on a retreat for 10 years. And I said, I know. And he said, how could you? I said, we worked so closely. I know where John is forever. One of my teachers years ago was the man who discovered Sri Aurobindo and Ramana Maharshi in India. And he said that they were in permanent linkage for the rest of their lives. And I absolutely swear it's true.
Oh, yes. I think that there are those unique links that each and every one of us can experience. I mean, that is, and that can be on so many different levels. I like what you said about how when you had the condition of cancer, that you did everything you could possibly do. It wasn't, gee, we're just going to do A. It was being willing to work with all options. And
Absolutely.
I think that when people are open to that, the sad thing is that so many times they don't know. This program I was watching the other night, one member of the family was telling the younger woman that had this serious condition, pancreatic cancer. The death verdict was given to her, but she was going to be a guinea pig in so many ways for science because they were going to try this drug with her or that drug with her. But the doctor was very honest. He said, I don't have a cure for you, period. I don't. And I thought, here is the father who is saying, you've got to fight it, because his wife died from it, and it was very devastating to him. So he said, we've got to find other options. You just don't take one opinion. You look and look and look, and you check things out. And I thought, that is a very good way to be, but you don't have often the information available to you unless you open up and vocalize. Open up and say, I have this condition, what do you know? And that's what I think is so wonderful about our program like we have today, about talking with you. You're a physician that knows of so many different alternative methods. That's what you are involved with. You're open to. And that's something that people are becoming, I think, because of the Internet, more and more aware of.
Yes, they are. And one of the most important things that I've been engaged in for a number of years now is to try and clean up the information that's out there, because there's a lot of stuff which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we've been trying very, very hard to really screen and look at information. And that's one of the reasons that I created my website, was so that we could start to develop one-stop shopping, one place where people can go for information that I personally have screened just to find out what is there, because I don't want for people to get involved in silly stuff that is not going to help them in the slightest, because sometimes we always think natural remedies are going to be harmless, but then I always have to say, well, wait a moment, hurricanes are natural, and so is arsenic.
That's right.
That's why we try very, very hard to find the things that actually make some kind of sense. And I have a very broad church, but that's what I've been trying to do and have done for many years. And this is what many of us are doing, is to try and create things online that people can go and have a quick look at and say, this is how I'm going to research. But the points that you raise are incredibly important, that when somebody gets a problem of any sort, as I did, I'm very happy to disclose what happened, that I knew, everybody told me, and I'm in the business, that this could be potentially fatal. I didn't particularly want to have something potentially fatal because I've got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not about to curl up into a ball and die.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was accepting of the possibility, but did everything. And that's what I urge listeners to do, is to just find out what other options are available to treat the whole person, mind, body, spirit, your subtle systems, everything, and then the outcomes are much better.
Oh, I agree. I recall, you know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of a couple of particulars that I was aware of many years ago. One was some research being done by the Smithsonian, where they went into Africa, and they found that the African witch doctors, shamans, whatever you wanted to call them, were so knowledgeable about various herbal remedies, etc. In fact, those that were the medicine men, I'll use that terminology, or medicine women,
yes,
had memorized well over 15,000 different species.
That's right.
And they had to know how to use it. They had to know when to pick it. Well, the Tibetans, for centuries, refined that. And even to this day, those that have been trained in their methodology from the old school, they are so knowledgeable, but they do something different. They always like to look at things as, how do we prevent things? They can diagnose very well, but they often say you need to be aware of certain things so that you don't, if you have a tendency towards XYZ, then you can prevent it. And then there is so much other information that has crossed my desk through the years that it has just amazed me, the openness that finally is happening about accepting other cultures, other understandings, like ancient Chinese, the Tibetans, the Africans, the Native Americans. I mean, you have the SEACT that was given to a nurse, a Canadian nurse, and it cured her. There was this Native American said, this worked for my tribe. I don't remember what the tribe's name was, but he said, I give it to you and you'll be well. And so she shared it with everybody she knew. And we all have individual body chemistry, and that's something else. You make points about being aware of our bodies, being aware of what feels right for us.
Absolutely. It's critically important, too. And if I have one wish for everybody, it's learn to listen to yourself. On the last occasion that you and I spoke, we talked about some of the keys to getting silent, going inside yourself, to be able to feel what is going on. And for people who are listening today, I urge them. I believe that interview should be in your archive, isn't it, Donna?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. All of our shows are in the archives.
That's great. And we covered between us a lot of ground that time. So for anyone listening, I'd urge you to have a listen to what we discussed on that occasion, the importance of getting silent and how to actually listen to yourself. And perhaps in the time that we have today, there's something that we can get people to do about that. Could I suggest that we actually have a little go at doing a little exercise today?
Well, let's do it.
Okay. There's a couple of things that I'd like to suggest to everybody listening about relationships and also how to look at them. Several years ago, there was a wonderful book came out called Chalice and the Blade. And the idea in that was that we had gone wrong in society and in many of our interpersonal relationships. And those relationships had got skewed towards domination instead of partnership.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very important idea because it gets back again to this idea of warfare and domination and all of this. What I did several years ago was to take those ideas, and I discovered that idea of domination and partnership was actually part of a far broader idea, and you could apply it to everything. So I'd like to suggest to everybody that what you do in each of these 10 areas is that I'd like to ask you to examine yourself and see whether your relationship is one of domination or partnership. And what we'll do, I think, Donna, because this is something I think is going to be very helpful, if I could suggest, let's do what we've done before, and I'll actually put this up as some notes on the website later, and anybody who wants them can have them. I'll send them to you as well. So what I'd like you to do is to think about your relationship first with your cells and organs. And I'll talk a little bit about each, but I'm always aware of our time. Then with yourself, your relationship with your subtle systems, your subtle energy of your body, your intimate relationships, are they ones of domination or partnership? Because that is often what causes problems. If one person is being dominant and the other doesn't like that, it can be the worst thing to cause chaos in relationships. Then I'd like you to look at your workplace and community. Are you in partnership with them? With your national community. And it's a good year, isn't it? Election year to be thinking about that.
Oh, yeah.
And then internationally and also with the living environments, with living creatures, and with your own spirituality. And I'll say a word about one or two of those, but I promised I was going to tell you about something remarkable that's come out scientifically because it relates to all of this.
Oh, yes, please do.
A very good scientist at the University of Wisconsin in Madison has just published some amazing data on forgiveness. If you are able to forgive and practice forgiveness, it changes the structure of your brain. This has just been published. I've just checked the data myself, and it's amazingly good quality data, and it ties to two other things. There is a scientist in Japan, he's one of the top geneticists in the world, who has demonstrated in the last year that forgiveness is one of the emotions, one of the mental states that changes the expression of genes, which is amazing. And the third piece that ties in is that people who practice forgiveness also have lower levels of inflammation in their blood. Isn't that amazing, astonishing, that you can, just by practicing forgiveness, partnership with people, you can change the structure of your brain. Don't you think that's extraordinary?
I think that is awesome, because it is something that many, many people that have gone through various life experiences, when they're wise enough to understand that, they have expounded on it for a lot of generations. And often it's like, well, you don't want to forgive because you've got to get even. I mean, we've got so much of that garbage that's going on today. But I would like to add another perspective, too.
Please,
when we're
yes.
forgiving someone, we also have to forgive ourselves.
Yes.
I had a discussion with someone yesterday, and their comment to me was, this came up, they saw on my counter where I had some books propped up that I'm in the process of reviewing. One is titled Something Forgiveness. And they looked at this and they said, you know what, I went through some very intense lessons, and the biggest lesson I learned is that I had to forgive myself first. They had so much anger inside of themselves. And their story was a very poignant one, and I've heard that from other people, and I thought, this really, as you were speaking, this is very appropriate, because it's not just saying I forgive you, it is releasing all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. And not forgiving yourself is like a cancer that eats at your soul. It is so desperately important to do this. And I think we need to make sure that on another occasion we actually together walk people through some ways of actually practicing forgiveness, because it doesn't mean you become a doormat. It doesn't mean that you are happy with things that have happened to you, but it's a matter of letting them go. And you are so right about that. It's I was just, as you were saying, I was reading yesterday a piece by John McCain as it happened, and how amazing it was. Those terrible things that happened to him while he was a prisoner of war, and yet he was able, after being tortured and having the most dreadful things happen to him, he was able to go back and shake hands with them and realize they're all just human beings who did something pretty damn stupid. Isn't that amazing that somebody can do that?
It is incredible. I was listening to a man that was a survivor of the Holocaust. He was on a radio program in my local area, and this gentleman is in his 80s. And there was a great deal of forgiveness that he also went through, and he said it's important to remember this. It's important to remember that there are things that change human beings, and we have to be responsible for how we think and what we do. And illness, wellness in life is a multiple level, and there's just such a value to it, and that's why your book, Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, is so important. I know we're almost out of time, but you have a blog that people need to know about. What is the blog that they go to?
Okay, it's very easy. Just go to my website, which is RichardGPettyMD.com. That's it. RichardGPettyMD.com, which, of course, links to your website as well. And just click on Go to My Blog, and you'll find around about 1,000 articles there that I have written. And by the way, Donna, the whole website and blog is all being updated, and we're putting a ton of new material on there in the next week or so. So anybody that has been in the past and would like to look again, there'll be a lot of new stuff, and I'm going to summarize what you and I have been talking about, and that will be up in the next 12 hours, and I'll send you a copy so you can put it on your site as well.
Oh,
Donna,
that is fabulous. This is wonderful, Dr. Petty. I know we're out of time, but we'll be coming back and be addressing some of these other things and all of this scientific information that you have in your library. There's so much of it that you have opted to share with people around the world. Your blog is number 30, 31 in the world for people coming to it for information. So this is just awesome. So for those of you that would like to go and find out more, if you have a loved one, a friend that is going through any kind of challenges, this is a doctor that has traveled around the world, keeps up to date with so much information. Go to his website, Richard G, like George, Petty, richardgpetty.com. Go to
MD,
call.
MD. Richard
MD.
G. Petty,
I'm sorry,
MD.
I forgot to put MD. richardgpettymd.com. Dr.
That's
Petty,
it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure as always.
And we'll be talking again soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. This
okay.
is Donna
Bye-bye.
Thibault. Bye-bye. We're taking a break. Don't go away now. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, those phone lines are open. That's right, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, that's the number for the U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. Also, Canadian, 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756. And we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, I have a couple of important things to share with you. One, I'm going to be, if you're listening and you're in Europe and there is an opportunity for you to tune in via the Internet at 5:40 Pacific Time, a.m., 5:40 a.m., I will be doing a radio broadcast in Spain. I have been invited to be a guest on RM Radio And it's going to be www.rm.fm.com, and you'll be able to hear the live broadcast. I've been invited to be a guest. I was just so thrilled for this opportunity. They called me this morning to make sure that everything was a go, and that's coming up this Monday. So wherever you are, if you're on the East Coast, then that means 8:40 your time, you could listen to it. Or if you're in the Central, it's just 2 hours different. So it'd be, you know, 7:40 your time. But all of this is occurring in the morning, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I'm so pleased to have been invited to be a guest. And then, of course, I'm going to be doing my class tomorrow. We've been doing the setup today, Mental Ecology. And that's going to be tomorrow, Saturday, April the 19th. If you are in Western Washington, I invite you to come on out and be a participant in this class. It's going to be interactive. It's not a huge class, and it is going to be a lot of fun. And we're also serving lunch. Now, where it's going to be is at the Center for Spiritual Living, which is a very old building. It's 100 years old this year, and part of the funds for this class will be going towards the restoration of that building. It's $89 a person, and that is including lunch. Yes, and we're going to have a fabulous, fabulous meal to share with you. The address is 206 North J Street, and that's in Tacoma. That's 206 North J Street. It's at the corner of Division and J. It's right across from Group Health, for those of you that might be listening that are familiar with the area. So come on out and join us tomorrow morning, 10 to 2. It's a four-hour workshop, lunch included, and we're going to have a good time. I'm really looking forward to doing this. And remember, part of the $89 fee is going to go towards the restoration of this 100-year-old building. It's just got an amazing history to it, so when you come, you'll learn about it. We're going to be talking about personal values, intuitive skills, problem solving, your perspectives, objectives, and what may be what you consider your life's purpose. So do join me, Donna Sebo, with Mental Ecology. I'm really delighted to be able to do this tomorrow. All right, telephone lines again are open, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. And then I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. Well, now that the weather is getting warmer, of course, here in the Pacific Northwest, the weather is extremely blustery. We have had storms that have been passing through our blue skies, and it's been an amazing experience because you'll have these squalls that hit. So it's the type of weather that gets brisk and cold, and we had a fabulous day where it was like almost in the 70s, and we all thought we better really enjoy it, and sure enough, those storms of springtime have come through. Well, I don't know about you, but after winter, it's almost as if there's something inside of us that says, eat lighter, eat lots of fresh food, just really get to making your body feel like it's going to have more energy. Well, I came across this wonderful recipe for a Dijon green bean tomato toss. And it's just something that I think is so refreshing for the palate, but it also is that spring indicator that just makes you feel better about where you are, what you're doing. And it's like the lighter fare. It's like the body starting to get ready. It's saying get rid of the heaviness of winter where those real sturdy meals that so often we enjoy during the darker months, you don't need them so much now that the days are warming up. And, of course, it all depends on what part of the country you're in. Well, here it is, and I just thought I would share with you, because this is a recipe you can use green beans, fresh green beans, if you want, or frozen. You just need to trim them. And if you don't have green beans, you can use sugar snap peas, and that's a variation. And I think it's just something that really is going to tantalize your taste buds. So this is the recipe. It's real simple. All you need is 12 ounces of green beans, fresh green beans, and you can trim them. If you don't have fresh, depending on where you are, then use your frozen. That's the next best thing. 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 2 teaspoons of balsamic vinegar, 2 teaspoons of balsamic vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of salt, a quarter of a teaspoon of garlic powder, quarter of a teaspoon of garlic powder, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and then a cup of your grape tomatoes, and you cut those in half. And a quarter cup, if you like onion, use red onion. It's sweeter. You need about a quarter of a small red onion. So you don't need a whole bunch of onion. Raw onions and made do not get along very well. So usually I skip that. And if I serve it to guests, then I like to put the onion on the side where they can help themselves. Because, again, they just don't seem to agree with me. Now, what you do over a high heat, you can bring a pot of your salted water to boil. And you add your green beans. Now, I know the recipe calls for salt. I don't use salt when I'm doing the green beans. I just don't think it's necessary because I think they have so much good flavor when they're fresh. I just don't want to taint it with salt. I feel people can always add it. But if you like using salted water, just, you know, use a little bit. You cook them until they're tender about 4 minutes, if that, because they still should have a bite to them. You drain and rinse them under cold water. Then you want to transfer them to a bowl and cover them with cold water and let them stand until they're totally cool, about 5 minutes. While that is totally cooling, and you could add some ice cubes to the water if you wanted to. You don't need a whole bunch, just a few, just to make the cooling effect more rapid. In a separate bowl, you want to whisk your balsamic vinegar, your salt, your garlic, your olive oil. You want to mix those there. You then drain your green beans. And I suggest you have some paper towels handy. Or if you like using cloth towels, just have clean cloth towels and just let them dry on that. You know, just pat the water, the excess water away, because it'll dilute your dressing. Then you toss your beans with your mustard dressing, tomatoes, and the onion. And you have something that's really light, really going to give your body some good nutrition. And more than that, it's something that's just right for springtime. It's just really good. But you could serve this anytime. It could be a meal unto itself if you wanted to add a little bit of something extra, like some chicken or whatever. You could do that, whatever you feel good with. But I think, again, when we're coming into this time of the year, we want to go with a little bit of the lighter fare. I know at least I do. It just seems to be more appealing. And so often it's just a good way to get those nutrients in and those veggies in a tasteful, flavorful way. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Also Canadians, 888-815-9756. And we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. By the way, I want to tell you about my guests that are coming up next week. Teresa Tapp, dynamic woman. I've toned up 14 inches overall using her system. We're going to find out more about what she does on Monday. Then if you want to give yourself a fan's facelift, male, female, Marie Vonerick is going to tell us how to do that. Then we're going to be talking to Mary Ann Radmacher. Lean forward into your life. Yes, good thing to do. And then we're also going to have Julia Molden, the brand new radical. Yes. We've got those rebels with a cause, and they're going to be talked about next week. So we've got a wonderful dynamic lineup of guests. And remember, you can always find out who's coming on by either going to my website, going through my newsletter, or you also can go to the BBS site where it has the guests listed. Meanwhile, we're going to be taking a break. Don't you go anywhere. We've got more good things to share. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. I'd love to do it. We'll come right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. We often will complain about traffic. Here in the Pacific Northwest, our traffic congestion is equal to Los Angeles and to New York. I mean, in other big cities. It is amazing. Why do we have it? We've got a lot more people in the area. Well, if you have ever been a fan of the Jetsons cartoon series, which I have to admit I've always enjoyed because I really like the concept. I like the idea of the robot maid, and I like the idea of different things, taking care of clothes and so on and so forth. But what I really, really loved was Mr. Jetson's Flying Machine. Well, if this is something that you've wondered, is it ever really going to happen? It is. There's a Dutch firm, PALDI Europe. Now, that's an abbreviation for Personal Air Inland Vehicle. They've announced plans to bring a car, a gyrocopter hybrid. Yes, I'm ready, to market in the next few years. Now, it has an automobile engine and rotor blades that stay folded up while it's on the road, but those blades will flip up and extend when it's time to fly. And it's designed to drive or fly at 120 miles per hour with a range of up to 375 miles on land and 340 in the air. Oh, I am ready. Now, I know, if you haven't seen the Jetsons cartoon, you really ought to watch it sometimes because they even have traffic cops up in the air. But this is something that I think is going to really come around. But who knows, maybe our skies will end up with highways of congestion up there with everybody traveling around. It's amazing. It really, really is. But I'd love to have a little unit like that. Now, the picture I've got of this, this PALDI Europe is so small, I don't know that more than one person could fit into it, and they may have a weight limit on the person that can be in it. Who knows? I don't know, but it's absolutely amazing to me. And I think we're going to be seeing some phenomenal things. I'm waiting for the engine that produces its own energy. And if you're interested in things like that, go to a website that is called Bruce De Palma, BRUCEDEPALMA.com. This is a man who is a genius and made it public, the information of research and study that he had done regarding an engine that would generate its own momentum. Really important things. We're in a fascinating period of history. Here we are, where we're recognizing that petroleum needs to be eliminated, let's say, from the automobile, but we're trying to figure out what else we can use. And there are people out there working on this, and believe me, necessity is always the mother of invention. It's coming. There are people already that have invented engines, invented processes that can make it economically viable and enable us to maintain our mobility. I have a real attitude about people that think, gee, take away the cars. Everybody ought to carpool. Good grief. I was out getting busy, ready for this class that I'm putting on tomorrow, doing all kinds of things. I was able to do it in 2 hours. I would never have been able to get it done in one day if I'd used mass transit. It wouldn't have happened. Lugging stuff around? No way. I don't want to give up my car. We just have to figure out a better way to move ourselves so that it's efficient, allows us our independence and our individuality. Because this is a big country we live in here in the U.S., and lots of things have got a lot of distance between them, and there's no fast way of getting there. I know. I've ridden buses and done things, and I think it's great that it's available for people that want to use it. But it just wouldn't work for me if I had to use it on a daily basis. I wouldn't be able to get more than a mile away or 3 miles away from home at any time, or the office. Just time. So having your own mode of transportation is important. I'm ready. I'm ready for the gyrocopters. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Also, paleontologists, they are going through some big shifts. Why? Well, they found somebody's old molar. Now, why would we get excited about a molar? Well, this one is giving some paleontologists a real challenge because it was found in Spain. It was found in 2007, and it's estimated at being 1 million to 1.2 million years old, and thus could be the oldest human tooth ever discovered in Western Europe. Just goes to show you we've been around for a long, long time. And this, they said, would confirm, if it's proven to be that old, what scientists have long believed, that humans were living in Europe as long ago as a million years. And there's a foundation that said the ancient molar came from an ancestor, and it was to a species, Homo antecessor. They're never going to run out of stuff to learn about. Never. And we've been around for a long time. But there's also a lot of artifacts that they have found that show that it was a time in history when people had technology that was as sophisticated and many times much more sophisticated than what we have today. Oh, I know, that sounds like woo-woo, but it isn't. It isn't. And sometimes we like to become complacent in our thinking, but we will never, ever know it all. And as hard as they try to measure things, they're always going to come up short one way or another because we are living in a universe that is so expansive. Anytime we reach a point where we think we've got it all down pat, I love the way the universe burps on us and says, excuse me, I think you better pay attention. It's not that way. That's what the quantum physics has been doing to so many aspects of science, and there's so much more that we're just beginning to scratch the surface of. It's just an exciting time. Frustrating, I know, with all the silly stuff that goes on in life, but that's human nature, and that's what living is all about, growing, expanding, and becoming bigger than we realized we could become in our understanding and knowledge and bringing a lot of better good things to this thing we call life, the experience. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have an absolutely awesome weekend. I'm so delighted that we've had this time together. Thank you, Dr. Petty. And don't forget to go to his blog, richardgpettymd.com. This is good stuff to know about. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Thoughts you hide is what I've tried. Although you keep them all buried inside, hear all the words you say to my dismay. But though you keep pushing me further away.
Hold on to what's not there, but do I dare let myself fall deeper into despair? Hold on and don't let go to what I don't know. Wait for the love you're reluctant to show, but I gave you all of me. There's nothing else I'd wanna be.
One minute, one way, one second of my life just takes away. Let me hear suffering down.